The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And there's one more verse that I think that should be on this gospel. It's not there in the official listing in the hymnals and all that. But the next verse is, Pilate asks him, "What is truth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. On Thanksgiving Eve, during my college and seminary days, once I finally had a car, and I no longer had to do a 12-hour bus ride with a 4-hour middle-of-the-night layover in Indianapolis to get home. Once I got the car, we would leave Wednesday after classes, that would be sometime in the afternoon, for that long drive home. And 8 hours, about 400 miles later, it'd be around midnight, when we turned west off of the busy main highway onto the quiet blacktop road for the final 2.25 miles home. At that time of the night, a few lights still dotted the farm landscape. And as we crested a rise about 1.5 miles down the road, we caught the first glimpse of the living room light at home. And as we traveled that final mile, we would see movement in the house. More lights would come on, and shadows would be moving through the living room into the kitchen. Someone was watching for us. And then the porch light would come on. And as we pulled into the driveway, the porch door would open, and Mom and Dad would be there with hugs and a warm welcome, eager to welcome us into the comforts of home, if only for a few days. Although I realized already then that this would not be home forever, my family and the experiences we shared there would be a part of who I am forever. Home was a place and people and experiences that would never, ever leave me. No matter where I have lived since then, what I have done, where I have traveled, I have always been deep down a farm boy from Illinois. Now, our place says something about who we are. Where are you from? Now, Jesus knew very well the full implications of that question. From the beginning of the Gospel of John to its very end, people are concerned with where Jesus is from because they are concerned with who he is. At the beginning of John's Gospel, in those first chapters, when Jesus is beginning to gather his disciples, Nathanael comments about Jesus, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And a similar question about where Jesus is from comes up again at the end of Jesus' life in today's gospel lesson. Jesus is standing before Pilate. It's on the day before he's to die. And Pilate asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" But this was not Pilate's real question. Pilate's real question is the one that I added on to the end of the gospel. What is the truth? Jesus had come to testify to the truth. But throughout this entire conversation with Pilate, there's only one real answer that Pilate gets from Jesus. He says, "My kingdom is not from here." The truth was difficult to see and to understand because Jesus is not from here. To be from a place means that it is part of who we are. Jesus was from Nazareth. Nazareth is about 15 miles west of the Sea of Galilee, 20 miles east of the Mediterranean Sea. It's west of Mount Tabor and at about 1,300 feet above sea level. But when Jesus was asked about the truth, Pilate was not seeking information that today would readily be available by Googling Nazareth. It was not a question about his hometown. It was a question about a new way of life. Now, new things and different environments are not always easy. I learned from my father that it was not easy to be a farmer in the big city, especially when he had to drive in Chicago. I still remember vividly a visit to the Museum of Science and Industry. It's on the lakeshore. So we were out 100 miles west of Chicago. We had a drive in and then a good 45 minutes of city driving to get across town. That was before even the expressways were in there. And my dad was very tense during that time. And then in the middle afternoon when we have to leave so we could be home in time to milk cows in the evening, another tense hour getting out of the city. He would comment, "Oh, there's the last stoplight." If we ever went downtown from my home, he would prefer that we take the train in downtown Chicago. Because there we just got on the train in LaSalle, and an hour and a half later we would walk on and be right there on State Street, basically downtown. Yes, life in the big city is different for someone from a rural background. Well, the disciples knew that life following Jesus would be different and not always easy. They were a diverse group trying to get used to a new way of life. There was Simon Peter, who was always quick to speak. He proclaimed Jesus as the Christ, but he also denies Jesus three times as well. And then there was Thomas, who kept quiet until he was absolutely sure of what to say. He's the one who needed to see the scars on Jesus' hands before he could speak up and attest to the resurrection. And there was Andrew and Philip, who brought a group of Greeks at Passover to meet Jesus for the very best reasons. But then there was Judas, who brought people to see Jesus for the worst reasons. And there was Matthew, the tax collector. We know all about him. Jesus said, "Follow me." Matthew picked up and followed him. But there's also in the scriptures Matthias, who is mostly unknown. And we don't really meet him until the book of Acts, but he was chosen by casting lots in order to replace Judas so that there would still be 12 disciples. But they were all learning how to follow and how to lead, how to wash people's feet and how to dust off their sandals, how to feed large, hungry crowds, and how to drink from one single cup. Yes, they were a diverse group trying to get used to a new way of life. All of them were different, but they all had one thing in common. They all knew what it meant to leave home. They had every one left home and familiar places, familiar settings to follow Jesus. Not just leaving a place, but also leaving to follow a new way of life. It is difficult to leave home. Like the little t-ball player who reared back, swung as hard as he could, and he got his first hit of the season. And he watched as the ball rolled slowly down the third baseline. And everyone cheered and pointed at first base, but he just stood there transfixed by that ball. If we want to understand the truth about the kingdom of God, we have to leave our place. We have to leave home. To leave home means that we move from what we know to what we do not know. To leave home means that we are willing to embrace what is unfamiliar for the sake of a new way of life. It was during my freshman year in college, I still remember that day, my mother and my Aunt Helen were in the kitchen preparing a meal. And remember, this is the 1960s. And Helen asked me what I was learning in college. Of course, she's making conversation. And of course, I'm this freshman all excited at the thought, what I'm learning that's new. And I commented that in my freshman religion class, I learned that the 7 days of creation in Genesis 1 weren't necessarily 24-hour days as we knew them. There was an awkward silence, followed by some comments about not forgetting what I had learned at home. Then we changed the subject, and I snuck into the dining room. In those years, I was taking the first steps in leaving home. Sometimes we do not have to travel far in order to leave home. Sometimes it's a matter of a few miles where we encounter something new that teaches us what it means to follow Jesus. We come to learn that the Bible is not a cul-de-sac where the journey ends. Rather, it is a busy intersection that sends us out in all directions, pointing us to the living God, so we see the world with new eyes. Jesus is not from here, but he came with a way of life that is bound to the needs of others who are here. He came because of the brokenness of the world. So we begin to fully understand the gospel of Christ when we listen to the gospel through those needs. And those needs of others always call us beyond our comfortable home places. We are always thankful for our home. It will always be a part of who we are. And yes, as I said before, I'm thankful that I'm a farm boy from Illinois. But when my parents took our pastor's advice to send me to a Lutheran college in the East, not to one in the Midwest, which was closer, but to send me east to Columbus, Ohio, where I would experience a world beyond the conservative Midwest community, farm community where I grew up. It was inevitable. Pastor Johnson knew that the kingdom of God is not from here. So he knew that if I was going to be part of that kingdom, at some point I would have to leave home. And he knew what I did not know then. He knew that seeking the kingdom of God meant discovering a larger world of discipleship and grace. Yes, we leave home. And if we choose to follow Christ, we discover the grace of discipleship and the discipleship of grace, the discipleship of sharing unconditional love. We live what Kathleen Norris calls a vowed life. Our baptismal vow, our commitment to follow Jesus, widens our world. As in all of our commitments to our spouse, to our friends, to our work, to the church, all of these widen our circle of life and experience. It may seem at times as if our vows narrow our lives, making a single commitment, but actually they widen the circle of our lives. They give our lives focus, but they widen them. As in the words of Ruth, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Our vows widen our lives to include another and another and another. And we learn to live each day with gratitude for where we are from. But we widen the circle to include our neighbor and the stranger, to include empathy and hope, to include the poor and the hurting, to include forgiveness and grace, to include our friend and our enemy. We live each day with a new innocence and integrity, humility and hope, grace and gratitude, faith and forgiveness, widening the circle of our lives. For Jesus is not from here. We seek always the kingdom of God, where Christ reigns, who came from another place to transform this one where we live and where we serve him. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for the places where we are from and the people they have made us. We are grateful for how those places have taught us, led us, and loved us. As we hear the voice of your calling, give us the strength and the courage we need to follow Jesus. Lead us to new places where we discover the grace of discipleship and the discipleship of grace. All this through Jesus, our King and our Lord. Amen.